Woman Shirin Chavos Halvada Shara Bitachon Chav Zayin Mar Cheshbon Chavov Mar Cheshbon Chavov Mar Cheshbon Shara Bitachon Okay, we're in Chavos Halvadas Shara Bitachon Paragimel. And actually, probably for the next few weeks, maybe not that long, it depends how fast we go, we're going to segue away from Bitachon per se and discuss philosophical issues that as a lot of us chooses to talk about here, and that is really Tzadik Baralo and Rosh HaVetovlo. How do we get into Tzadik Baralo and Rosh HaVetovlo? Because the Chavis talked about the chiyuv, the obligation for us to do what we call hishtadlus. He then says, but hishtadlus being what it is, he calls it hisaskus desibos. We're busying ourselves with the channels through which Hashem's seirah is channeled. So why did Hashem create a world in which we're doing something that's essentially meaningless? Now that he said we should do it, I'm hitting. Then now it's Ratzon Hashem. And it's dangerous to not do it. You can't just decide you're not going to do it. You're violating the will of Hashem. It's not maybe one of the 365 lavin, but you're definitely violating his will, and the consequences will be whatever the consequences Hashem decides to send. So the irony is, again, this is part of our struggle with bitachon, that if you don't do hishtadlus, it may not happen, and you'll say, wow, that proves conclusively, absolutely, that the hishtadlus accomplishes. And now that I didn't do hishtadlus, so nothing happened. Look, I didn't open a store, I didn't go to work, and I have no money. Wow. So it's work that gives you the money. So you're looking at it the wrong way. Chavis Halvadas' eyeglasses are a microscope, a telescope, looking at it from the wrong end. You would have had the money you were supposed to have. But Hashem's ratzon is that you do hishtadlus. And you didn't do hishtadlus, so you violated the will of Hashem. And by violating the will of Hashem, you suffer a consequence. And the consequence is that you don't get the money that you were supposed to have. So that's the mabat of a Baal Bitachon, a Baalos Bitachon. That's the mabat of someone who really understands and believes sincerely and internalizes the things we're learning about. So again, the world ends up the same world. It's like if I give a stirring speech, I don't want to make anybody not be curious here, but if I give a stirring speech how tefillah helps, and there's so many sources that tefillah help, and someone comes over to me and says, I don't see that it helps. I see people in the daven and people don't daven, and they seem to have the same lives. Well, you don't know that. No one ever did a survey. Actually, there was once a survey taken, and it showed that the percentage of people getting healed in hospitals by people who have people praying for them is higher significantly than other people, even if they didn't know that people were davening for them, but then you could say it's... But, be that as it may, this is the struggle of life, this is the struggle of Olam, from the word Helen, this is the struggle of seeing laws of nature and not seeing Hashem, and that's what life, Emunah, that's what life is about, Emunah and Bitachon, and even after you believe it, you have to internalize it, and even after you internalize it, you have to put it into action, you have to implement the ramifications of your belief, right? If, you know, someone could say, oh, Jerusalem is the eternal capital undivided of Israel. Okay, can I build myself a house in what's called East Jerusalem? No, that you can't do. So the words have to mean something. There has to be a lepikach. There has to be a therefore. So otherwise it's lip service. And you're just trying to fool people. So it doesn't work the same way. You know, if you have to say Hashem is running the world, that demands certain actions or inactions, and if you don't do that, so then it brings into question if you really believe it. And to believe it, you have to think about it, which brings us back to thinking about things. Anyway, so all of us says, so why do we have to bother? Why does Hashem play this cruel joke on us and have us go through the motions of something that's essentially meaningless? He gives two reasons. One reason is that's the battleground of Bechira. That's the world. That's what it's all about, my good friend, he says. That's where your Bechira lies. Am I going to cut corners? Am I going to violate Lashon Hara? Am I going to violate Onoho? Geneva? Honesty? Am I going to violate Shabbos? Am I going to juggle this with my obligations at home? Am I going to premier and ask himself if he's going to be Kaveh Itam Torah despite the struggle for Parnassa? So that's the battleground of Bechira. Life is the battleground of Bechira. And the second reason is, he says, you gotta keep people out of mischief. And if they have too much leisure time, then Vayishman Yeshur and Vayivot. You get into mischief, you get into trouble, and you just gotta keep you busy. So you're too busy to get into mischief. Okay. He then says, but then logically, as a person progresses through life in righteousness, in listening to Hashem, as he proves himself or herself, as life goes on, the need for parnos, the need for hishtadlus should get less and less, because these two points are okay when you're at the starting gate, but like 60 years later, when you've grown and you've died, so then. Lufi, how much you've grown, the necessity for Hishtadlus should have gotten less and less. Why don't we see that? Why don't we see that? All too often. We don't know how many times we see it, how many times we don't see it, we don't really know people's lives. But apparently, it looks that there's no correlation between Tzidkus and the need for Hishtadlus Pesibos. But according to what I just said, he says, it's like a piece of tiger. According to what I just said, the reason for Hishtadlus would be because Hashem wants you to do 10% and he'll take care of the 90%. Then I understand it. So your whole life you have to do that 10%. But Chas v'Shalom, it's not that way. For the reasons we said, it really accomplishes nothing. So then Lechora, as life goes on, the reasons should lessen and lessen. And you should be able to get away with less and less Hishtadlus. And all too often that doesn't seem to be the case. That's his question. But Gadol, you can call it Tzadik Viral or Rosh HaVatovlo, even though you go, whoa, what a leap. A leap from a guy who still has to work 8 hours a day instead of 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, let's say, and you're leaping to Tzadik Viral, Rosh HaVatovlo. But yeah, it's the same question. It's essentially the same question. Why don't things appear to work out the way we are told they're going to work out? So the Chagavodos says, and now he segues into that inyan, and that's going to be the inyan, and it will take us however long it takes us to learn. Yomar haomer hine anachin roa mitzvah sadikim lo yuzdamim lahem tirfam. And again, this is the Chazalodus uses parnasa as our connection to the physical world, our busyness in the physical world. But there's health and illness and good health. There's relationships with children, relationships with neighbors. There are other things out there, but again, like I said, probably 80% of our lives at least is consumed with putting bread on the table, paying the rent, buying clothing, paying for tuition, paying for this, paying for that. The bill collectors are in a line outside the door. Very long line. And that's the struggle to pay those bills. So that's what he uses, because that's most of our focus outside of Ruchnis. In Anat Neroa Mikla Sadiq Muizamalan Tirpa Ela Afreya Omovai Gia, we don't see it's any easier for them. And according to the Chedim, it should get easier. For Rabbi Manche Aveiros, thank you, Bishalva. They have a Yerusha, they have a nice white collar job, and they don't work so hard, they just push a couple buttons. They Chayayem. But, or they're politicians, or stop living off the public till, and okay, start that rant. All politicians, politics is basically corrupt. That's the way it's. If you're not a libertarian, as I probably proudly am, then all politics is corruption by its nature. They control your life, and they're not giving it to you for free. and they very say, we're spending money, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. Hey, that's my money. You took it away from me, and now you're giving it back to me a little. Thank you. Okay, that's the system's corrupt. Everybody's the same. The system's corrupt. I need to ask someone permission to build the porch. Now, the Gemara in Bava Basra, by the way, there are many sukkahs about the environment. It's in the second paragraph of Bava Basra, what we would call zoning and the environment. And these are halachas, like all halachas. But you don't, you don't pay off somebody to give you a rishayon. You want to do something, and maybe your neighbor takes you to Besdin, or says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do that because you're blocking my whatever it is. I'm not going to learn the halachas now. And there's a Besdin, and they look up in Shulchan Aruch, and they see, you're not allowed to put a garbage dumpster near somebody's window because of the smell. And you're not allowed to build out if it'll block his ear. And what about view? Is there such a concept in an halacha that you're not allowed to block my view? So you look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to tell you the answer because everybody will say, what? How did that be? But there's no such halacha. No such halacha that you're not allowed to block someone's view. You're not allowed to block their ear. And you're not allowed to block the sun streaming in. But there's no din you're not allowed to block their view. At least I haven't found such a
thing. What do you mean, ear?
Ear, A-I-R, ear. You bought an area apartment, and now people built up, and like, you're choking. There's such a din. Anyway, it's in the second paragraph of Bava Basra. There's all zoning rules and environmental rules. Second paragraph of Bava Basra, and like everything else in life, there's a Shulchan Aruch. Then you have Minhag HaMedina, which many times does hold force, many times, if there's zoning from the Medina, from the government, local government, Lo Mishaneh. Always local government, even if you don't say Halayom Atzmaut, but the local government has nothing to do with that. So they also have rules, it's true, and if the rules sometimes make sense, you know, and sometimes are applied across the board to everybody, and sometimes not. Okay, enough said. Okay, anyway, I just wanted to give an example of someone with a nice cushy job. Nomar, so if, well, that was very, very interesting. He says, the first thing is, when you ask this question, is, guess what? You're not the first person to be bothered by why a two-day-old baby passed away tragically. Guess what? You're not the first person to ask this question. The world is 5,000 years old already, and there have been tragedies from the beginning of the world, and Rishon have been Matzliach, and Tzadikim sometimes don't have it so good. And you know, don't think like, oh man, I caught Hashem. I caught him in a question that questions all the foundations of Judaism. The question has been asked 5,700 years ago. Relax, you're not the first person to think, what?
It's not an answer though.
I didn't say that the first statement of the Chayvus Halvot, he's not answering. He said, the first thing you have to know is that you're not the first genius that thought of this question. Like, Yichat Hashem. The question has been around for thousands of years. That's the first thing you have to know. And believe me, it's not an answer, but people who are full of themselves, and they write in blogs that they discovered, oh, why should an American in Israel have to keep 2 days Yom Tov? But in Israel, they always kept one day. Like, you just thought of that? What a genius you are. It's pure arrogance. You're not the first person to think of the question. And bigger people than you have thought of the question. It's not such a genius question that you chapt Hashem with. It's a question that's been around from Moshe Rabbeinu's time and earlier. So that's the first thing. It was relaxed. It's not, you didn't come up with this new thing that you caught Hashem with. Nomar, and that's what the Chayyim Halal starts off with. Ki kvar kodlu ha-Nevi'im v'chasidim lachar al-zeh el-inyan. This question has been asked by Nevi'im. He granted does not bring down Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's famous that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hareini nois kvodecha, the Gemara in Brachas says he was asking this question, why is Tzadik Baralo, and why is Rosh HaVetovlo? Chayyim Halal And no, doesn't bring down the Gemara, but he brings on other Levi'im, Mehem Misha Omar, Madua Derech Rishon Solcha, which is as explicitly a question as you can ask, well, why are the ways of the wicked successful? Omar Acher Loma Tiruni Tareni Oven, Omol Tabib, Vishon Vachomos Lenegli, Vahiriv, Omodon Yiso. I mean, that society is so, and it connects, and society is going. You know, Russia seemed invincible. I don't know, but Baruch Hashem was zocheh to live when a seemingly invincible superpower collapsed, literally, almost literally, overnight. All of a sudden, it wasn't there anymore. But for 50 years, they seemed like Russia the Tovlo. They were powerful. We were scared of them. Do as they wanted, they didn't care about anyone, and they were strong, and the bomb, and the space, they were cracking. Ki Russia machter is hatzadik, of Russia sometimes overwhelms the tzadik, ba'omar takrish bebloa, Russia tzadik mimenu, how can you be quiet, Hashem, when the Russia swallows up the righteous person, ba'omar acher hine elu rishoim, but v'shal ve'olam, they're calm and you know, his guchayil, v'omar achritz v'kitzu l'bobi v'arachat v'nechayon kapoi, v'inugua kalyon, this is achdi labu korim. That's a statement of anguish, of tzadik v'ralo. V'omar achra p'yanshe doro, gam bochnu alakim v'imolei v'larbe kazeh. And there's no answers. The Nach asks the question and doesn't give answers. And that's, oh man, whoa, I think. So the Chayim is Avodah says, because it's not like a pair of socks that one size fits all. There's no answer that fits all. Except if you just, I mean, if you want to say an answer that Hashem knows what he's doing and we believe in Hashem, and Kel Emunah Ve'enovel, that's not really an answer, that's a statement of belief. Tzidu Kadin. When you say Tzidu Kadin, you're not really giving an answer, you're just being Matzdik Esadin. So there is no one answer. He says, "Achiniach Hanovi Hachuva, the beer ilazu." The Novi leaves over, meaning he doesn't give you because there is no universal objective answer to the question. Not like there's an answer somewhere and we just have to find the answer. There's no one answer. But Neshe'ilas Kol Echad Menatzadikim Anivchonim, each tzaddik who is tested in this way, that he has a rough, he or she have a rough life. V'chol echad min harishoyim she'hem b'tova v'olam hazeh zulas ilas ha'acher. Every person has a different answer, tailor-made to his circumstance in life, tailor-made to his neshama, tailor-made for him or her. And that's why the Navi doesn't give an answer, because there is no one objective, universal answer. It's not one size fits all. L'chein heir al zeh v'omro, and that's what the Pasuk in Dvorim is alluding to when it says, Hanistoros l'Hashem Elokeinu. There are hidden things in this world that, demand our emuna, and he is going to give answers. I'm just telling you. He's going to say, because this is is a sophisticated approach. It's saying, don't start with answers. Start with understanding that Taka Hashem knows what he's doing, and there are different answers to different people, and each one is tailor-made for that person, and you have to start with Tzidu Kadin. If that's your mindset, then I can give you, and he suggests 5, 6, 7, 8 possible answers. But as we all know from life, if the person doesn't mean well, then nothing you say is going to satisfy them. If the person doesn't believe in Hashem, don't bother proving it to them, because they'll just deflect every proof you have. If you meet a person with an open mind, truly open mind, but not open enough that all his brain spilled out, then it's kishmak and you can talk to them. If you're meeting someone, so the first order of business in the Chodesh Halvah is very important to realize. The first order of business is to establish that there's an answer and there's no one answer fits all, and it's Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu Manignas Lonu Vaneinu. And then he goes on to say, which we'll learn in a second, and I'll get to your question when I finish the sentence. is, having said that, let me throw at you a couple of answers, because the human mind wants answers. This is like the Chovos HaLovos Lishin Tosa. He is not happy with just telling you, you gotta believe. It has to be the base. Just like in Emunah itself, if the Chovos HaLovos, I know, I went to another sentence, sorry. After the Chovos HaLovos talks and talks and talks and talks about the need for rational proof and rational understanding of the existence of Hashem and the unity of Hashem, he says, but you know, if you don't have the base of Emunah, he also says, even though people don't realize, people don't know, because they don't know Sharon Yichuch, I'm not going there. But it has to have a base of just Emunah. If you don't start off with that base, nothing's going to help. You're going to deflect every proof. It's not going to work. You have to start off with a base. And here also, the base is that Hashem knows what he's doing, and everybody has a different answer, tailor-made to their circumstances, to their lives, to their neshama, to their holoch yelech of life. You don't know what happened to them 20 years ago. Something happened. You don't know how things... We don't know. A person sees very superficially, very narrow vision, and Hashem knows everything that's going on, past, present, and future. And therefore, if that's the base, then we can start with it. It suggests that he answers. Yeah.
So, I don't want to sound childish, but up until 5 minutes ago, I was very content with the answer or belief that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing and he's setting the realm of the rest of the people, and that's fine. There's a huge picture and I'm just a little page in the book. Fine. But now you're telling me that
the Chayvus Halvavo, the Chayvus Halvavo, Lishitaso, because he is has pushed the whole Sefer, as we know, he pushes rational on, and he assumes, and he doesn't want, maybe you should skip the next couple of classes. No, seriously. He wants to give, he says the human mind wants answers.
No, for sure, but I was quite content, but now you've raised that Nevi'im even asked that, and I feel I'm here and a Nevi has absolutely talked about an Emuna. How could he have asked that?
No, because the Chayvus HaLovos said that's why he didn't answer it. He didn't answer it because the Chayvus HaLovos says the reason the Nevi'im didn't answer it is because they assumed that you have the bedrock beliefs of a Jew.
So why did they ask it?
They didn't. They're quoting people. They didn't ask it. Not like maybe that's why he doesn't bring down Moshe. I mean, you just gave me a nice thought of why the Chavos HaLovos brings down, doesn't bring down Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu asks it. They're giving rhetoric of the door. That the door is saying this and the door is saying that. They raise the issue and they don't give their answer what they answered. And maybe that's why he didn't bring down Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked it. And Hashem told them.
Could it be that the Nevi knew the answer?
What answer? There is no answer. That's like, there is no answer. The answer is on the level of, the answer is your answer. Hashem Elokeinu. We're a very small, narrow sliver of life and history and understanding and depth. Even on the most simple level, believe me, as the rebbe of the shul, no one knows what's going on by the other person. They think, oh, look at that. They think it's tovlo, and I know how ralo it is, because it's unfortunately what I have to put up with. Or you may look at someone and say, it's ralo, and I know it's tovlo, because of the way he's reacting to it, and the thing, how he's meeting the challenges, and I know it's tovlo. So even on, like, the human level of just, you know, this one shul and this one sliver of history and in one place on the globe and the universe, you know. So obviously that's if that'll do it for you, that's fine. And that's really, it's not an answer, but that's the, that has to be the base of dealing with it, right? The base of dealing with it is on the stars, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem knows what he's doing. But now, again, the Chayvus HaLovos Lishitaso, he says, V'im kol zeh, nevertheless, Ro'isi levar v'inyan zeh, I have felt fit, I felt it appropriate to explain in this inyan, ma'shehoye bo ma'at haspaka, what might satisfy you a little, at least to show you what a possible range of answers there might be. And he really gives the whole range. I mean, I can't think of anything he doesn't cover, because he gives 5, 6, 7, 8 reasons, possible reasons. And it really covers the whole gamut. Any answer you've ever heard is included in the Chavis Halavis's 8 answers. I can't think of it, you know. So he says, so why does he do that? I'm telling you, he does it because he's Lashitasa. He holds the human mind has to understand things. Now, if, again, I don't know, you know, maybe it's called understanding to say Hashem knows what he's doing. And he knows what happened 100 years ago and what's going to happen 100 years hence. And he, you know, and he knows. You know, and Rashi and Chumash sort of throws out an answer that the tzaddik is getting his punishment for any aveiros he did in this world, and the Rosh is getting his reward for any good things he did in this world, which is going to be one of his answers. But that's the one we're most familiar with, because Rashi and Chumash brings it down. The Gemara gives a different answer when Hashem answered Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara's answer will also be one of the Chodesh HaLavas' explanations. So first he says, HaNishtaros Hashem Elokim. And in Pasuk in Koheles, in Oshek, if the oppression of Rosh, the poor person, the Geza, Mishpat, what said that Tirba Medina, you see a place where it's essentially lawless, and the courts are not dealing with the lawlessness. That's the way it is. So that's it. The im kolzei, then nevertheless, for isig levar binyan hazeh mashayim bo ma'at haspaka, but might satisfy you a little. But Omar, and I will say, now he gives a few answers. Number one, ki aponim asher avu ba'avuram, because of them, timona hatzadek hazamnus kerfo. Again, he's focused on having parnasa, but it would apply to any tzadik for ralo, any kind of ralo. He happens to be talking about having to struggle for parnasa. Achi yivchol, that he has to work hard the yivchon bo, and he gets tested through that. Okay, number one, efshe shiyia avon shekodem lo. You don't know. He's an aveira, and he has to get punished. He's an aveira. He has to answer for his aveira. His chayiv li para mimenu olov kmo shenemar ain tzadik la'aretz yishula. You know, the Mesil Sesharim in the first Nida of Zerizos talks about the Dikta Kadim and how it's very hard to be totally clean and Hashem not to find fault with what you do. And you have to answer for it. And if someone says that Hashem will overlook anything, no, he won't. He won't. You know, Hashem doesn't overlook things. He may have different ways of dealing with it than we're used to. So there's a Midas HaRachamim. And the Mesil Sesharim explains, where does Midas HaRachamim come from? If Hashem is Kael Emuno Ba'ein Ovel, so it's an Ovel to do good for someone, to be Mochel, if he doesn't deserve Mechila. No? Both ways are shver. So what's Midas HaRachamim? So again, Mesil Sesharim talks about that. Where does Midas HaRachamim come from if Hashem is an objective judge? But, so that's number one, is you have no idea. And, and in fact, the tzaddik would welcome, right, not that I'm a tzaddik, but just, you know, when you get 7 minutes of severe agnus nefesh, or 14 minutes, whatever it was, of severe agnus nefesh, a good Jew will say, thank you, Hashem. Who knows what this was machaper for me? And instead of suffering in Gehenna, instead of suffering loss of lavo, I got a punishment in Olam Hazeh, because Hashem, you know, and I had severe, heavy, intense agnus nefesh a few weeks ago, months ago, for 60 seconds, and 2 days ago, 3 days ago, for 13 minutes. So you say, thank you, Hashem. And that's what you should do. That's, you know, you go, and Victor Miller Zantal says, you go dance a little jig in the street. And you say, thank you, Hashem, for thanking you. And you dance, and you're happy, and you say, wow, thank you that I got this in Olam Hazeh. So that's answer number one. He has an Aveira, Odomin Tzadik Vata, she has a total Yechta. And Adrabi, he would welcome and be thrilled with the fact that he's getting. And if you. I don't remember right now. A life of poverty If you knew what awaits punishment in you know, you're not supposed to say Canada nowadays. We don't want to frighten the children, they might go off to there. If we knew what an Onesh in Shemayim was, we would welcome a life of poverty if it saved us from, I don't know how they measure time in Canada, there's no time clock here, you don't punch in, but we would welcome it. Alive, all the Sfarim say that. We don't know, Mr. Miller Gill said, I mean, you don't need anybody to say it. Rabbi Zal Salanter says it in Or Yisrael. It goes on like that for many pages. We don't chap what's going on. We don't chap what an onesh is. We don't chap what being rachel from Hashem is, the aggravation and the pain at not being close to Hashem. Lachar, you know, lachar meiv v'esrim. So, but you have your wits about you. You would choose that. L'chatchila. I thank Hashem, and that's why Otcha Hashem ki yarachta bi. We thank Hashem for it. You don't want to get your onesh in Olam Haba. Not, of course I would rather this. That's answer number one. That's not the focus of the first answer. I really went away from the focus. The focus is he has not there. He has not there. So, whether you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medayim HaTzadikim, Bruchot HaSaira, or you say, Ado Min Tzadik Baruch Hu Sheyes HaTov Lo Yechta, or anything. I mean, who doesn't have Averus? Who doesn't have things that should have done differently? So that's answer number one. Highly part of the man who he has to get his payback. Moshe Abraham, Sadiq Boris Yeshua. Number two. Answer number two. V'yeshi el derech hatmura v'olam haba. Moshe Kosov lehitivcha v'acharisecha. This is not, the first one would also might have the result of increasing his schar and olam haba, but it's not the focus of the answer. The focus of the answer is that he has an aveira and he's getting punished for it. Here is that you get more schar. You had a nisayon of emuna, you had a nisayon of poverty, you had a nisayon of aggravation, and you maintained simcha, and you maintained emuna b'Hashem, and you didn't go off the derech, and you maintained your emuna and your optimism and your belief in Hashem, and that Hashem is a meitiv in the face of maybe tragedy, even sorrows. So you get moschar, a big nisayon, and this is a pasuk, ki eis asher yehav Hashem yochiach. Hashem loves you, and Hashem wants you to be zochet to great things. So he sends you more obstacles in your life, so that by overcoming them, you're on a higher madrega than you would have been otherwise. That's answer number two. Lehitivcha b'achrisecha. It's for the purpose of benefiting you at the end of the day, or at the end of the whatever day. Number three. V'yesh sheyiyeh laharos simlo v'hazboroso hatova v'avodos haborius borech k'dei sheyulmadu b'nei odom imenu Moshe yodata ne'inyon iyo. This is amazing. He says, maybe it's to be a role model. And you get scarred. Again, the answer is always, it's worth it. And you would thank Hashem for the opportunity that you could choose, and you were privy to what he's doing. Number one was, you do have an aveira, sir, madam, and that's it. Thank Hashem that you're getting paid back in this world. Number two is, you become a more intense Oved Hashem. I'm doing you a favor. You're overcoming an Isayam, and you're becoming a more intense Oved Hashem, and you're going to become closer to Hashem through that, and that's wonderful, and you're welcome. Thank you, Hashem. You're welcome. Number three is, you're a role model for others. Others see that you're overcoming in the study. Others see that you're still davening and you're still cheerful and you're dealing with it and you're not falling into depression and you still believe in Hashem and you're able to sing Zmiros and you're in a good mood and you're thankful to Hashem for the things you do have. And that's what the whole Shara Bechina for, because most of the things in your body still work. and you're not out in the street, and you're alive, and you're Jewish, etc. So you're a role model for others, and that's a tremendous value. You're teaching others. You're teaching others about belief in Hashem. You're teaching others how to react to tragedy. So that's answer number three. That it's so that you will be a role model for others. Some people there, if you're listening, are saying, that is so not fair. Well, not fair. Let them figure out their own lessons. Why do I have to be their lesson plan? Why? That's not fair. The answer is we don't look at life the right way. As I said Sunday, life is to be Oved Hashem. And anything that puts me in that position of being a vehicle for Avodas Hashem is success in life. Maybe not fair. Yeah, maybe it's not fair. Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe you don't deserve the good of being a role model for others. Why did Hashem pick you that you get schar for other people doing mitzvahs because they're inspired by your ability to keep on trucking in the face of adversity and tragedy even and sorrows, and they look at you and they get inspired. And you get schar for that. That's not fair. I'd say the other way it's not fair. Well, you didn't do anything. Okay, so the answer is you did. You overcame the Nisayon and you were good, so that's wonderful. But Hashem makes you into a role model. That's answer number three. Mrs. Zabrowski's bothered by something.
I'm thinking about it. They're rough.
Oh, right? You better believe it. Life is rough, madam.
And to maintain a composure and
not everybody is on the Nisayon. And sometimes you have something like the Shoah happening, which is so overwhelmingly tragic. I mean, it's a tragedy every time someone's child. It's an overwhelming tragedy. You know, my sister had such a situation. My older sister had a child that died, that was killed in an accident. And she reacted marvelously. It was hard. It was hard. But she, everything's from Hashem, Tzidu Kadin. And she was wonderful. And she was principal in the school. She still is. And the kids were brought by their teachers to be Menachem Avel. And like a kid, you know, let's say from fifth grade and up. And imagine a kid being brought to a house of their principal by their teacher. And the principal's like married daughter just got killed in an accident. And the kid's like, but my sister's. Spoke to them. It was a tremendous kiddush Hashem, a tremendous opportunity, a teaching moment, as they say. And she rose to the occasion, and so did my brother-in-law, also a tzaddik. They rose to the occasion, and they handled it not just by passive acceptance, which is also fantastic, but they did number three, and they were role models, and they showed people that, you know. You keep on trucking, as we say. If you believe in Hashem, you believe in Hashem. And you just have to put that into practice. The Shoah had two different reactions to it. Had the reaction of people becoming losing their faith on the Islam, totally. And it had the reaction of people affirming their faith. And even, as Rabbi Vigdemiller's book, now the new book that came out, shows not just affirming their faith, but proving their faith. Because this was predicted it's going to happen. The famous in Hazinu, read Hazinu, and you see this is going to happen. And only a blind person could not see the Mida, connected Mida here. And it's sad and it's unfortunate. And then the rise of Medina Yisrael from those ashes. What happened to scientists denying Hashem? That everything a scientist knows, it's absurd. Okay, that's number three. History is just as absurd. The denying Hashem's hand in history. It's just as absurd. The Yesh. Number four. And just by the way, Eov was that. Eov was supposed to be a role model for others. That's an interesting way of looking at Eov. The Yesh. This is a more difficult concept. Sheyeh LaRosha. Anshe, the Resha Anshe Doro, because of the rishus of Bnei Doro, there's a concept in Svarim that La'asid Lavo, people will understand and admit the truth. They'll admit. Why is that important? Who cares if they admit it or not? The ones that see it, see it, and the ones that are being punished in Gehenna are being punished in Gehenna. But there's a concept that, you know, we say in Olenu, we say in Akitabiyat, we call Yerushalay Seibel, everyone's going to say Hashem's MS, Taroso MS, and so the Chavir Goda says there's a fourth reason that sometimes the tzaddik is being tested so that he should show his righteousness, so that Osad Lobo, the Rishoim, who either failed the test or didn't even get tested, will see the conscience. And they won't be able to say it's not fair and from, because look what the tzaddik did. To show a contrast between a person who's essentially well-meaning, tzaddik, who really does believe in Hashem. So look what belief in Hashem means. Look at the reaction. Look at the reaction that someone believes in Hashem is supposed to have. You say, oh, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And this isn't chazal. It's a difficult concept. Maybe one day we'll be able to discuss it. And as if Hashem, the Rishon can't have a time in all of them. You say, what does Hashem care what they say? Right? You're not running for mayor of a city. You don't have to answer any questions. But you see this concept in Chazal of that the Akidu B'Yedu called Yerushalay Seibel, people will be shown their hypocrisy. People will be shown what phonies they are and how Hashem is Hashem. Find that concept in Chazal. So you want the Rosh to say, what do you want from me? You know, you want me to believe in Hashem and do mitzvahs. I had such a rough life. Where's Hashem? What Hashem? What do you want from me? Or maybe it can't be done anybody. Maybe someone that became a Picaris from the Holocaust. Maybe Hashem's going to punish him. And he's going to say, come on, man. Like, Holocaust, what do you want from me? And Hashem says, well, look at all these people. They also underwent the Holocaust. And they survived, and they were fine. Their Amunah survived. Can't have Titus. I want you to admit that you failed the test. And this is what we see in Chazal. We're going to why now. I'm not going to say the words, it's important to Hashem. It's like a ridiculous sentence. But Hashem sets things up that it's like the Ache Yosef saying, you know, and he says, Ani Yosef, and they say, whoops. I guess maybe we're wrong in selling you, or wrong in wanting to kill you. Hashem shows you, the Rishon see that they were wrong. Not just we punish them and throw them out of the garbage. They admit that they were wrong and they are moded to Hashem, and in some sources it's even a schus for them, even though it's hard to understand how it could be a schus lachamisa. If lachamisa is no more bechira, really, so I'm not so sure what that means, but a kubanim. That's part of the system that Hashem constructed. So therefore, the Chavis Avodah said that's reason number four. To show the Rishoy that you had a choice. You didn't have to become a Rasha. Don't tell me stories you became a Rasha because of this, or you became a Rasha because of that, or you became a Rasha because your father never hugged you, so you went off to Derech. I don't want to hear stories, says the Eibishter. Here's a kid whose father threw him out of the house and didn't have anything to do with him anymore, and he grew up fine. Now, only Hashem knows whether the two people are similar. It could be that the kid that went off the derech is taka an ones, and because of the impact of the way his parents treated him. That's not for us to judge. That's why we can't be judgmental. We don't know who's good, who's bad. We don't know if the person is an ones or not. But because although this is talking from Hashem's perspective, and when it's appropriate to say this, he says it. If it's not appropriate, obviously he doesn't say it. The point is, look, yeah, that person underwent poverty and tragedy and sorrows, and they emerged. They overcame, and they emerged. So, So number three is to be a role model for others, and number four is to be sort of a negative role model, so to speak, for Rishon. Okay, stop here.